Hi, everyone. This is Emily Rose of Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose, and I want to talk to you for a minute. As you know, the holidays are coming up, and frankly, I could use a little holiday cheer. Whether you're a longtime listener, you tune in every once in a while, or never listened at all, you can follow the links in my episode description and send me a holiday drink, follow my Cash App link, or subscribe via Buzzsprout subscriptions. Buy me a holiday drink will only be available through the month of December. So if that's your preferred method, go ahead and try it out now. Thank you for your continued support. I love you guys. Bye-bye. Hello, hello, hello. This is Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose. And it feels so good to be back with Beverly Hills. I feel good about Beverly Hills. If you guys have been listening, you know that I really haven't been enjoying this season so much, but it's taken a turn in the last couple of episodes. Now, I did not recap last week's episode because honestly, until the dinner party started, I didn't feel like there was much to talk about. So we're going to go over a little bit of that, and then we're going to really dive into this past episode. And I'm hoping to have a guest in the next week or so to go even further. So this is going to be kind of quick, maybe not a full recap, but we have to talk about it because there was so much going on. Now, before we do that, you guys probably heard my new little Christmas themed intro. And I just want to say, I know that it's annoying, and I know that the venues that I'm asking for lack of a better word, donations are kind of odd, like Cash App, Buy Me a Coffee, which I swear I would never go back to, but here we are, and Buzzsprout subscriptions. But I just want to be transparent and say, you know, I work in education, and if you know what the salary schedule is like for educators, I'm not an educator, I'm not a teacher. I worked in behavioral crisis de-escalation for six years, and now I'm an admin, and I am still paid on the salary scale of like a paraprofessional, if that gives you any indication of what I'm doing. And I've been working since, you know, freshman year of college. So when I'm asking for donations, I promise I don't make any money off of this show. It is kind of costly to run it because I have a program that I use to make the transcript and to sometimes edit out a lot of my superfluous bullshit. And sometimes I just need to use a lot of software to make this the best product possible. And that can run me almost $100 a month. So, and then also publishing it is not free the way that I want to do it because I want to make a good product. And listen, none of you asked me to do this. No one was like, Emily, spend all of your money. I know that. But I just wanted to give you guys some insight. I've talked about it a little bit. I'm usually really cagey about it because I feel weird. But I'm like, if you had to sit through that goofy ass introduction and you don't know why I did it, I think it's better for me to just explain it. So that's what's going on with that. Last, I'm going to talk about it. So let's get into Beverly Hills. All right, so last week on Beverly Hills, the most notable thing that happened in last week's episode, other than, of course, the dinner, would be we finally met Morgan Wade. And if you guys follow me on Instagram at WhoTFKnowsEmilyRose, then you know that my opinion is pretty much that, at the very least, Kyle has a thing for Morgan Wade. And I want to speak about this, and I hope I'm not being super offensive. I mean, that never is followed by a whole lot, but stick with me. I know that there's a lot of conversation about outing. If Morgan Wade makes a statement like, hey, I'm not appreciative of the inference that I sleep with women, I do not, just a heads up, then I'll be like, all right. But for me, outing is when you are saying that someone is gay with some sort of malicious intention. You're either saying that there's something wrong with them being gay, or a lot of times you're doing it to people who can't come out because of their family or their age or their religious affiliation, and you're saying that they're gay to attack their character. And I am someone who is fluid, so I think I'm not trying to be like, oh, I can say whatever I want. So I want to still be sensitive. But at the same time, Kyle, you are not doing what I feel is necessary to prevent people from speculation. And I think if you do a music video where you are making out with a woman, it is very reasonable to conclude that there's some sort of chemistry there. I know that, and it happened, people are like, well, she's acting. And guess what? People with great chemistry in the movies, there's speculation about them too. People speculate when you're linked romantically, whether it's through an acting job, a tabloid, whatever. And for me, I don't think this is any different than if Kyle was doing all of this stuff with a guy. The speculation would be that they're dating. So I just think that it's silly to act like it's crazy to assume that maybe she's having a thing with this woman, because to me, it doesn't matter. You can disagree with me, totally understand. I'm not trying to be harmful, but just so y'all know where I'm coming from, I feel like they're flirtatious with one another, and I think that Kyle has a crush on her, and I think that's A-okay. In this scene that we get Kyle and Morgan for the first time, a lot of people have been saying that Morgan seemed not into it. I didn't get that. I just felt like Morgan was being guarded. I don't think that Morgan has a whole lot of experience with reality television. I think this is how it read to me. This is my personal opinion. You do not have to agree with me. It felt like Morgan was not sure of how to proceed with the way that they were going to talk about their friendship, relationship, and she was just kind of uncomfortable with the cameras. That's how it came off to me. I know a lot of people were like, oh, she's like, oh, this woman has me here hostage. No, Morgan's also a grown woman. She's a young grown woman, but she's grown and she's on this television show. And as far as we know, Kyle's not blackmailing her to be on the show. So everyone's making choices here. You guys are making choices. Kyle made a choice to tattoo her initial on Morgan's arm. Morgan accepted that, kind of. It's just, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like there's not some sort of romantic undertone when there is. So we get the scene and Kyle is just it's very much how I act about a crush. I get that way. Talkative, kind of moving my shoulders in ways I don't normally move. And so we get a little glimpse, and that's pretty much all we see of Morgan. And then we see Kyle go home. So she gets a tattoo and insists that Morgan holds her hand. And then we see her go home and tell Mo. And he's like, you know, what are you doing? And Kyle's like, well, I can do what I want. It's just the whole thing to me is goofy as hell. And one of the theories that I think this is a solid theory. Her kids probably have said to both of them, both Mauricio and Kyle, don't air your business because it is going to make us uncomfortable. And so I can see Kyle towing that line for her kids. And I can see Mo doing the same thing. I think that they both have skeletons in their closet. I think they're both trying to maneuver it peacefully, but I think it's goofy to have whatever's going on with Kyle. And then also, Morgan Wade has this song on her newest album called 27 Club, where she talks about going to the Chateau Marmont with a really hot Beverly Hills celebrity. And obviously, that could be anybody. Like that, it could be Lindsay Lohan for all we know, even though Lindsay's kind of like Greek and also New York. Anyway, she could be talking about anybody, but it's just funny that like, the way that she talks about it also says that the person was snorting pills off of her stomach. That's what Morgan says in her song. Nothing surprises me about any of these women. And we'll get there when we get to the weed dinner, okay? So that's my little Morgan Wade segment. That's, you know, whatever. If you're dating her, cool. If you're not, you're flirting with her. And that I can say objectively. So then we get a couple of scenes. We get Sutton. Oh my God. Sutton has her matchmaker over and her house manager is so funny. He was like, she is very bubbly. Just be warned. And I thought that was so funny. I love him. Then we get to the prep for the dinner. And now we're kind of getting an introduction to Anne-Marie Wiley. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not a fan. I don't know if it's because of the way that she's been introduced. I don't know if it's because this is Beverly Hills, okay? And we have a certain standard for our Beverly Hills housewives. And I remember people were like, when Rinna was doing all of her crazy shit, it was like, don't bring any more soap stars on the Beverly Hills. I'm like, no, That's not what we want. We want these people that live in another universe in the same country. I want people that are deluded by Hollywood, the process of being an actor or musician of some sort, and come into it and they just live a totally different life. And that's what's fun about Beverly Hills and glamour, and or presumed glamour. Anne Marie doesn't have any of that shit. And her husband has said some unpleasant things. I think he's also under investigation for R-word or sexual assault of a minor. So I'm not fucking interested, Anne Marie Wiley, until you prove me wrong. I'm just going to not like her. Sorry. I'm just like, there's so many other... What happened? This is what I was saying in my group chat. What happened to Garcelle's friends? Because here's the reality. I don't need anybody that's going to kiss Kyle's ass. Kyle has plenty of friends on the show. She's got Faye, goddamn. We don't need any more of Kyle's friends. Sutton has Jennifer Tilly, and she's great, but I don't know that Sutton has a whole lot of other like reality friends that she could bring on. Crystal, I don't know why we haven't brought in one of her 40 friends that denounced her, whatever it was, but they refused to do that with her, so okay. Then Dorit doesn't have any damn friends. And like, so Erica definitely doesn't have any friends that I think would qualify for the standards of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So that leaves Garcelle, who has so many of the type of friends that should be on the show. Like Nia Long was rumored to be maybe scouted for the show. Nia Long would be perfect for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Now, they probably couldn't afford her, which is fair. But I think we should delve into Garcelle's circle and leave Kyle's friends out of this, because this lady, Anne Marie, her house is just, it just, it's not giving Beverly Hills. She is not giving Beverly Hills. She's like a registered nurse, but also an athlete. That, to me, that's not what I come to Beverly Hills for. You know, put that on a different franchise. Let's keep Beverly Hills delusional. Also, Anne Marie is... It was very odd watching this dinner, because it was clear that she was trying to push story along, but that's not natural, because you don't go, if you're invited into a group of women, you don't yell out, well, what's going on? If you don't know, like no one does that. If you don't know what's going on, you're going to whisper to the person next to you, I'm so lost right now. I don't know what's going on. You're not going to be like, well, tell us what's happening. What are you accusing her of? It's too much. And I'm not saying she's putting on, because again, to be fair, we're in Beverly Hills. There are a lot of eccentric personalities. I don't know that she's putting on. She may very well be like this in real life, but I don't like people like that. So I don't really like her on TV so far. Obviously, my mind could change. We're only like 6 or 7 episodes into the season. I'm a very malleable individual, so I could definitely change my mind. But right now, honey, the kind of stuff that your family values seem to stand on is not what I'm about. You're not bringing any glamour, and you don't have anything interesting going on to add to the group dynamic. Also, like, if we pull from other Hollywood people, that's fascinating, because it is Hollywood, Beverly Hills, that circle is tight. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody has a story. Everybody knows the gossip. This lady lives in Beverly Hills, but she's in like the athlete realm. That's not the same as like the actor realm or the music realm. Not to say they don't overlap, but she's boring. I don't care. Whatever. All bullshit that I'm saying aside, she's boring and she does too much and I'm not interested right now. But that could change. That could change. So we get introduced to her. We have Justin and Faye, the morally corrupt Faye Resnick, is there. Everyone's kind of just getting ready for the party. Also, a lot of people have been talking shit about Kyle's hair. I liked Kyle's hair. I really did. I kind of like a crimped, like Mary-Kate and Ashley look. So I was down. The most surprising guests, I guess, to this dinner would be Denise Richards and Camille Meyer. Now, formerly Graham. Grammar, Graham. Formerly Camille Grammar. We got to talk about it. Guys, you know where I'm going to go with this. If you're triggered by discussion of substance abuse or use, again, just fast forward, close out. I totally get it. Denise, they're both, when they get out of the car, they're both quite chatty. Denise is particularly chatty and slurry. And this is the thing, y'all. Denise Richards y'all know I defended her on my episode where I had Sell Who I Sell. Shout out. We're defending Denise, and I'm still going to defend her, but I want to make it clear. I don't think that the lady is perfect. I don't think that there is absolutely no merit to any frustrations with her. I think, and I said, when all of the shit that everyone got amnesia about, apparently, but all of the shit that went down the last time that Denise was on the show was a bunch of women, particularly Kyle and Teddy, trying to connect Denise having maybe slept with Brandi Glanville with Denise being a liar, a hypocrite, and like an untrustworthy bad person. So her maybe bisexuality equals bad. That's what Kyle was trying to do. And again, that is not what people are trying to say about Morgan and Kyle, those rumors, okay? Which she brought on herself. Anyway, so Denise, though, let's be clear, does have a past of, there's some, if you guys go back to when she was dating like Richie Sambora, even, like not even the Charlie Sheen stuff, right? She has some partying that she's done. Who of this group hasn't partied? But it is a little hypocritical. Also, I don't know if any of you guys remember Denise Richards' show on E!, Denise Richards, It's Complicated. I watched it, didn't retain a single thing about it. So then I just bought a couple of episodes the other day just for fun. And yeah, Denise has kind of always been this kind of hypocrite where she's doing and saying all kinds of bullshit on television. And then even on that show, she was trying to hide and be like, well, I'm trying not to curse in front of my kids. And her dad was a big part of the show. And her dad was like, yeah, you can't curse in front of the kids. So this is something that Denise has struggled with for a long time. And of course, now we know Denise is doing OnlyFans with her daughter, which is not a crime, but it is odd that she had a period of time where she was like, I don't want, you know, the kids to hear about sex. I think that with Denise Richards, we have to understand that part of her issue is that I think that she has participated in stuff that's probably a little more salacious than sleeping with Brandi Glanville or being in a raunchy movie or being a Playboy model. Like, that's all one thing. I think that she probably has a history of associating with people that aren't great, doing drugs, drinking, whatever, probably some whacked out behavior. And I think that that's what she's trying to protect. And maybe that's what the women were trying to get out of her. You see what I'm saying? But they can't do that because, in my opinion, I think that all of these women, particularly on her last season, which I believe was season 9 or 10, all of those women party. All of them. I think it was, oh my God, I'm forgetting his name, but I love Pretty Corrupt Podcast. If you guys don't listen, listen to them. But he was saying, these women smoke weed, okay? And they take edibles and they do recreational drugs. And he didn't say the recreational drugs part. That's me. But these women smoke weed, so they're playing too much when they're talking about, oh, 0 milligrams. Also, don't come for Garcelle and Sutton for doing 0 milligrams and then Sutton taking out a joint, because they're trying to stay on top of their damn game because they're playing the game. The rest of them, and that's probably what they were all doing. They weren't trying to get too fucked up because they needed to be, we needed like a juxtaposition between Denise and everybody else. All that I'm saying is, Denise was on something, allegedly, in my opinion, other than just being drunk. And I think that it's goofy to argue otherwise. And I thought it was weird when Kyle in this week's episode was like, well, I don't know. I guess it feels like she's probably imbibing in something other than alcohol. No shit, Kyle. Just stop being so damn coy about it. Just say what it is. She was fucked up. And it was more than alcohol. She was, I'm willing to entertain a downer, like benzo conversation. To me, it felt very much like an upper or stimulant, as well as drinking. And then also on Reddit, somebody said, you're not going to slur if you're on Adderall or blow or anything like that. You're not going to slur. You will. That's a ridiculous thing to say. Slurring still occurs, especially if you're drinking a lot on a stimulant. yeah, no, you can still slur and you can still be sloppy. Her facial gestures to me were very twitchy, which I don't know. I definitely don't know anything about opiate, benzo, any of that. I really don't have any idea. But except for when I was on medicine for when I broke my leg. But I was mostly just chilling and in extreme pain and couldn't walk. So that's not the same as recreational OxyContin use or whatever. OxyContin. Do they even make that anymore? I don't know. Basically, what I'm saying is I think that she was blowed down. I think she was just on some. She was on something, maybe Adderall. And Adderall literally has the word amphetamine in it. So take with that what you will. But I think she was on some other shit because she was staying alert. She just wasn't making any sense. And the problem with that is then when... So we get into the dinner. Okay, back up. We get into the dinner. It's a THC dinner. Watch what Crappens made a great point last week when Kyle was like talking to Morgan Wade about whether or not she should do the THC dinner because she feels so much pressure. It was like... Girl, this is your idea, bitch. Like, you don't have to do... No one is... How much pressure for you to... If you are sober, for you to host a dinner... And maybe... I don't think that she's sober from weed necessarily, but you feel pressure to host a THC dinner that you don't partake in, but there's also alcohol for everybody else. Like, this is goofy, girl. You are being... absolutely intolerable about this dinner. So she has all these people just God, I just wish that they would be real about it. So, oh, also 50 Cent, Cynthia from Real Housewives of Atlanta, she was there. Hey, Cynth. She's, you know what? I gotta say, speaking of cast members, Cynthia would be a great addition to Real Housewives Beverly Hills. And I know that's been thrown around a lot. And I've always kind of been like, you know, I want to keep my Atlanta girls in Atlanta. Remember when Nene moved out to LA and she had that house? I think she had an elevator. And remember when all the girls showed up late and Nene wouldn't let them in the house? Anyway, I think Cynthia would be good on Beverly Hills after seeing her at this dinner because she kind of plays that she knows because she knows what she's doing. That's why. That's why she would be good on Beverly Hills, because she knows what she's doing. She knows how to be messy. She knows what to say. She knows how to be the voice of reason, unlike Amory Wiley. Anyway, and Camille's the same way, by the way. Camille's good at this, too. She's like Cynthia. They know how to play the game. Amory doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. She's not even fun like Monica, by the way. Monica Garcia from Salt Lake City followed me on Instagram, and I just want to let you guys know, warning, my Instagram's about to be fully Team Monica, because I'm not, first of all, going to fuck with her. And second of all, I do love her. Obviously, I have some critiques, but I really do love her. So if you see a lot of Monica content, you know why. I don't care. Yeah, I'll kiss her ass. I like her. It would be like if Sheena Shea followed me, you would get even more pro Sheena content than I already do. And I feel like that's obnoxious already. So anyway, so 50 Cent Cynthia was at the dinner. And Kyle and Sutton attempt to resolve, basically all season they've been kind of going at it and not getting along and kind of bickering. And they really are bickering like sisters. This is very, Kyle was treating Sutton very much, very reminiscent of how she used to treat Kim. And I'd been saying that. And then I rewatched season one the other day and I was like, yeah, no, it's very similar. Just like trying to... She won't fully hold her accountable or say what her problem is, but she will fight with her and bicker with her like no for no reason and kind of treat her like a little kid. And it's obnoxious from Kyle. So anyway, they go into the side room to discuss their issues. And Kyle is like, oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot a big piece of this. Guys, forgive me. Background context. Before this dinner happened, Sutton and Garcelle had a conversation at dinner where Sutton told Garcelle that she noticed that Kyle was seen without her wedding ring. And then the next time she had a ring on that hand, it wasn't her wedding band. It was a totally different ring. At first, this information didn't really, I didn't process it. I was like, so the fuck what? But no, it makes sense. If you have a friend and they're married, and there's already rumors and speculation that there's an issue, and then they go out in public to an event, let's say, because most of us are not captured by paparazzi. So let's say that she goes, your friend goes to the office holiday party and she's not wearing her ring. You know, that's where you take pictures. You know, you're with coworkers, you're being seen and you're not wearing your ring. Like, that's interesting. And then you're friends with her. You know what her wedding band looks like. And then all of a sudden she's wearing a totally different ass ring. And Kyle's not saying, you know, I wanted to put the other ring in the bank. And so it was too much. It was annoying. It's hard to work out with, which is all very fair. She's saying, oh, well, I just wanted to buy myself a ring. What? I can't do that. Girl, you can do whatever the hell you want. But you're not like, you're not connecting the Mauricio piece. You're not drawing a line from, oh, I took off the ring and then I realized I needed something more manageable for when I'm working out. And Mauricio, you know, helped me pick out a new ring. You're not bringing Mauricio into the conversation at all. So it just sounds like you took off your ring and then you bought another one because fuck him, which is fair. And I am on Kyle's side about that. But you're not saying that, Kyle. So you look nuts. So when Garcelle and Sutton have that conversation, Garcelle has a confessional where she says, well, I don't know why Sutton's all hung up on Kyle's rings. Like, I don't even really notice jewelry, except for after Dorit's robbery, she still had hers. It was like cue vindicated by dashboard confessional. I felt very resolved in that moment. I was like, I'm not crazy. I remember when, and this is no shame to him, because we love Ryan Bailey. And he was on my podcast a couple of years ago before he got very, very successful. And he was already successful, but now he's like big and doing it big and having just like everything that he deserves because he's great. So he was on my podcast. And I remember I said something like, Ryan, you don't really think that Dorit really got robbed for real. I said something like that. He was like, no, like, what are you talking about? And I was like, maybe I'm crazy. And for a while, I've just been like, maybe I am actually just too much of a conspiracy theorist. But then Garcelle said that, and I thought, my God, I was right. Everyone thinks this fucking shit is suspect. And we get into it more at the end of the episode. I'm probably not even going to talk about it, honestly. Just know that again, you guys are sick of hearing my theory. I believe that PK has someone else in London that he is romantically linked to. And I think that two things were going on. I think one, that he was aware that people were going to come collect some sort of bounty from their home because he owes people money. And I think the reason he didn't come back or wasn't present for it was because he was busy getting it on with his mistress. And so when Dorit's calling him, that's why he didn't answer the phone. I don't think that he knew when it was going to happen or else he would have been back in Beverly Hills. But I think that he knew very well that people were coming for him. Do I think that Dorit knew it was going to be like this? No, I don't think that she thought that was going to happen like that. But I think that she also knew that they were in trouble and that someone may very well be trying to come for PK. Does not make it any less traumatic or scary or upsetting. It's just there's like a little piece of it that is not fully truthful, in my opinion. That is my conspiracy theory. TM, Emily Rose. No one else has to believe that. That is just my theory. Okay, back to the parlor with Kyle and Sutton. So they're going back and forth, and Sutton explains that, and also, I can't get to the point, I'm so sorry. We now have information that we didn't when the episode aired. So Beverly Hills has after shows, and in my opinion, they are the best after shows of any franchise because they get real on the after shows. They are not real when they're filming the show. They're like a character. But when they do the after shows, they tell the context. There's always missing context with these bitches. I don't know what it is. Now we know that what happened was Sutton, the day that they were flying out to Vegas, Sutton gets a text from her ex saying, we need to talk when you get back. And Sutton, I do this too. Sutton, out of anxiety, is like, no, let's go ahead and talk now. Because you know when you get a text, it's like, we need to talk later, or call me when you can. We really have something we need to talk about. Or your mom is like, call me ASAP, and you're at work. And so you call her, and it's like, my internet isn't on. Whatever. So everybody does this. She was probably just anxious and wanted to just know what the fuck was going on. Well, it turns out he has an opportunity overseas in London or something. And he was like, so I'm going to move to London and you're going to either come with me or you're going to we're going to have to go to court again because I'm moving. Bye. The way that Sutton explained that to Kyle, honestly, I don't think that Sutton was, she wasn't being super clear and she never is, but I don't think that Sutton was not saying what the problem was. And it is, for all of them, really audacious of Kyle to look at her, look at Sutton like, oh, so you're going to get more money? Like, girl, I pray Kyle does not have to go through a contentious divorce with Mauricio. I really do. Because if she gets taken for some money and what's her name? Is it Sophie? What the hell is her youngest daughter's name? Why am I? Portia. And if they take Portia away, not away, but if there's like a custody battle for her and no matter how old she is, like, I hope that doesn't happen to her because she's not going to handle it very well either. Sutton's already gone through the divorce, girl. This is somebody here that you can confide in about what you're going through, but instead you judge her and accuse her of being materialistic or out of touch. Bitch, you are out of touch. You, every year, you claim to own the city of Beverly Hills. You don't think that's out of touch, Kyle? You think that's out of touch? That's nuts, girl. You're probably one of the lower tier celebrities in Beverly Hills. You just, like, you have long-standing roots. That doesn't make you the owner of the damn city, crazy. So I didn't appreciate that conversation. I know that Sutton is, in comparison, this is a first world problem. Clearly, this is like a no world problem because of the money involved. But Kyle wasn't listening to Sutton when she was trying to explain herself. She was making fun of her. And then Kyle, who is, listen, I understand that her friend, one of her best friends, had passed away by taking her own life and that was affecting her. And I don't want to say I wish she had said this or that, but it probably would have been better for that conversation, like contextually, if either in the moment or in a confessional, she said, look, Sutton's going through like a random custody thing. I just lost one of the best friends in the world. I don't have a lot of patience or sympathy for her right now. If she had said that, it would have been easier to grasp why she was being so harsh. Because if the comparison is like first world problems, then I'm going to think, Kyle, you cry every year because your white party has like a caterer missing. That's a first world problem. You can't attack people. This is the only problems y'all have for the most part of first world. Celebrity divorce, custody. Like, for a lot of people, that is extremely difficult in my world. In the world that I live in, that is a very difficult process. So yeah, everything y'all go through is first world because you have the resources to get through it. A lot of people don't. So anyway, if she had spoken about her friend in that moment, I think that that would have brought more context in the moment. When I'm thinking about it now, I'm like, right, well, she probably was like, bitch, you don't have problems. I have problems. And I get that. She should have said it in the moment. I wish she would have. I'm not going to tell her what she should or shouldn't have done because that's her grief, not my grief. Anyway, they're going back and forth and they are being very childish. And Crystal comes in and she sits down. I don't know why Crystal came in and sat down. I would have been like, y'all got to go. We got to let's get it popping. So she comes in and kind of sits for some of the conversation. And then because Sutton was like, what is going on in your life? What is going on in your life? What is going on in your marriage? Something is up. Also, I want to say, if you have a friend who is not, no, first of all, who has admitted to having disordered eating in the past and is losing weight and is in the gym an amount that was not fathomable for them previously and has taken off their wedding ring and is being very cagey and is very emotional and kind of being a little meaner than usual, it is reasonable to conclude that maybe something's going on in the relationship that is upsetting. This happened to me because I struggled after I broke my leg. I lost a lot of weight and I struggled to keep that weight off. And I had a couple people be like, girl, are you good? Because I was never counting calories before then. I was never worried about my body like that. I was never worked out. I was working out all the time. I was using like Isavera treatments. That's like freezing fat, which I still use from time to time. It's good for if you're bloated. I was doing that kind of stuff. And my friends were like, girl, are you good? It is reasonable when people change their behavior in an extreme way and for people to wonder what's going on. And Kyle's acting like it's absolutely psychotic. And she's not drinking. And for what we as the audience know, even though I called it out a couple of years ago, but what we as the audience know is that Kyle doesn't really have a drinking problem. So we don't, for us, it's like, well, you know, you've stopped drinking. If she's already, for me, if she's already admitted to having issues with eating in the past, like alcohol is a big calorie thing. So if you cut out alcohol, I don't know. It's just you're making a lot of life changes and it's reasonable for people to ask what the hell's going on. Okay. But she's just not saying stuff that makes sense. Kyle's just not. She always wants to come for people and then she cannot defend herself. She cannot make herself make it make sense. There's a YouTuber I love, Make It Make Sense. And she never does. So she just comes out looking like the asshole because she probably is an asshole. But she has some valid reasoning in this moment. She just doesn't say it. So anyway, we go back. Crystal wrangles Sutton. They don't get anywhere with this conversation, by the way. And Sutton comes back in and it's like, okay, we've been waiting for like an hour. What's good? And where's Kyle? And Sutton goes in denial about something. That was great, Sutton. When Sutton's great, she's great. Kyle comes back to sit at the table and they start to get this dinner going. And they start to get into kind of more light conversation. And Crystal, she clocks into work and she goes, let's just talk about what the fuck I just walked in on. Because y'all are nuts. And she explains kind of like you guys were arguing. And then we get into this thing where Sutton and Kyle are both playing a very weird game of let's kind of talk about it. Let's almost say it, but not really say it and make everyone else really irritated. So they're talking about the conversation is like, Kyle's like, what are you accusing me of? And Sutton's like, I didn't say anything about you. She was like, are you trying to say something wrong? Like with me? And she's like, I wasn't saying that. You were talking about my wedding band. Well, there is something. You're not wearing the same band. Well, what does that have to do anything? And then Anne Marie is like, well, what's the problem? What are you insinuating's going on? And Garcelle goes, there's something in her marriage. In her marriage. And Kyle's like, well, what are you trying to say? Like, my husband's cheating on me? Is that what you're saying? And Sutton goes, I never said that. It's just weird that you have another ring. And Kyle says something like, well, what did you think it was? And Garcelle says, I thought it was like a makeup gift. Basically insinuating that when men are cheating on their wives, they get them a really, really nice gift as a way of diamonds or, in Camille's case, cars to make up for it. And Kyle's like, oh, God, no, I bought this ring myself. And to me, again, I'm like, well, that's weirder that you took off your wedding ring and then bought yourself a ring and you're not linking Mauricio to this at all. You're not. All she would have to say in this moment, truly, to make it make sense would be for her to be like, again, I'm working out because then Anne-Marie, well, I worked out at 4:30 a.m., which is the only character trait we have of this woman so far. And I take my ring off all the time. What? You're not going to have your ring on when you're lifting weights. I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care. I don't care. I don't care about you lifting weights. What is this? This is a ridiculous conversation. And honestly, Sutton kind of made it ridiculous, but they're all being asinine. So Kyle is saying that she bought herself a ring and there's conversation. Also, at one point, I can't remember what she says, and if I was better at podcasting, I would take notes. Denise says something to Erica at some point, and she's saying maybe they, because before the girls came back to the table, she was like, maybe they buy too much on hors d'oeuvres. Also, earlier, Denise winks at the camera saying she wasn't going to take any of the THC edibles, but she's only smoked weed twice in her life, and you can guess why I did that with. Denise, obviously Charlie Sheen is most notable, but Denise, you have had dalliances with some really scummy men, so I cannot guess, but I appreciate your character and winking at the camera was very funny. I love how she does not give a fuck that she's on this show. Anyway, back in the argument, they all kind of are joking about how because I guess they've all been cheated on, when their husband cheats on them, they get a gift. And then Kyle pivots the conversation. She asks Garcelle where her necklace is. It doesn't really get resolved. And so the dinner continues and they start taking orders for the THC. Like I said, these girls are playing too much. They know that they can do more than 0.01 or whatever they were trying to get away with doing with the THC. And they get into the dinner. And also, before we get to this, because now we're getting into episode two, part two of the third Dinner from Hell. Kyle gives a very Sydney Sweeney in Euphoria or Gretchen Wieners on Mean Girls-esque speech about how there's nothing wrong. And that she already said that her marriage was difficult the past year, but there's nothing wrong. And I don't understand. It's like, relax, okay? Just relax. But she can't. She's, you know, not drinking, not taking THC. So she's, I don't know. She doesn't have great coping mechanisms. So we're getting into the dinner and Erica goes on this tangent about, you know, how she wants a great whirlwind love. And the girls are in their confessionals kind of like, bitch, you had that. Like, what are you talking about? And Sutton, ever the confessional warrior, she doesn't say this at the dinner, but in her confessional, she goes, Erica, you had a great love. It was like Harold and Maude, except in reverse. And it'll probably be a Lifetime movie. Now, for those of you who don't know, Harold and Maude is basically a movie about a younger man who falls in love with an older woman. And it's like a dark comedy, I guess. And it's just like, Sutton, you are goofy. But she's right. So then Dorit shifts the conversation a bit and asks Denise how she's doing. In the words of Durand and Medley, I'd like to vote on not well, bitch. But she says, oh, I'm great. And Dorit's like, did you miss everyone? And everyone's kind of like giggling, like, everyone, ha, 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 because of course she didn't miss everyone. And he's like, I missed everyone, but I do have a question for you, talking about Erica Jane. And EJ's like, okay. And Denise is like, I mean, you and I is like what we had. And it was just like, I can say, like, I thought you were lovely when I met you. Basically, what Denise is trying to say is she was hurt by Erica. I don't know why specifically Erica, because there's a few people that participated in this bullshit with Denise, but she said she was hurt by her because when they first met, they were cool, and we see a flashback of them participating in some activity and being really sweet with each other, but then she felt like Erica turned on her. That's what she's trying to say, but she doesn't say that, though. She doesn't really say much of anything at all, and the problem is Erica, all of these women are ghastly and are like, oh, well, we don't know what you're talking about. Oh, she's so drunk. Like, what is she talking about? Y'all know exactly what the fuck she's talking about. Listen to my podcast, or as Denise recommends, watch the show. And we get this iconic callback moment from her to Bravo, Bravo, fucking Bravo. We get watch the show. And honestly, great advice, girls. Watch the show. It's not hard to figure out what Denise is talking about. You guys accused her, because apparently it's bad to you all, of having an affair with a woman, with Brandy Glanville. You brought Kyle and Teddy, brought Brandy on the show for a cameo to accuse Denise of having an affair with her. And then made the whole season about it and talked horribly about it. And then at one point, Kyle, when they were on vacation, Kyle said to Teddy, I mean, my husband would never be okay with me being with a woman. Like, never. He would never go for that. Because Teddy was like, I don't know, my husband would probably be cool with it. Kyle's like, no, my husband would never be okay with me being with a woman. Like, you're homophobic. I get it, Kyle. That's great. Glad to see you've come around. So they're kind of all making fun of Denise. And then they take a little break. Sutton pulls out a joint. They all make really misguided connections to Sutton smoking a joint with Sutton not liking watching a guy simulate oral sex on Erica. To me, they don't have anything to do with each other. Sutton never said that she was, like, it is actually legal in California. Like, I don't think smoking weed is the same as, like, simulated public sex acts, but whatever, I guess. They can draw whatever conclusion. So she smokes a joint. It's really not that interesting. And then Crystal also has a really weird confessional where she's making fun of Denise, but she's like kind of has like a mania moment where she's like laughing to herself, like, what, bitch, what? Watch the show. What show? What show are you talking about? I was like, okay. Like, that was in a confessional. Like, that was unnecessary, but okay. And then Denise is like, can I actually talk to you for a second? And one of the cooks in the kitchen is like, dude, Denise Richards is fucked up, which was really funny. And then she pulls Kyle and Sutton into a different like bar area of Kyle's house, and she's still like, she like points at an opening of the wall and she's like, this too. Like, girl, what are you talking about? Then they go into the bar and Garcelle arrives and she's trying to kind of make some sense out of it. And Denise is like, Erica's a dumb fucking, I think she says a dumb fucking bitch. I'm not sure. She might have said the C word. So she keeps saying that. And then she's like, and we all knew she knew. And then everyone kind of tries to be like, I don't know what she's talking about. Y'all know what again, you guys know what Denise thought. We all knew she knew means that all of y'all fake ass bitches had conversations about Erica. Well, Garcelle and Sutton are not fake because they said them quite openly, but they all knew that Erica knew what was going on with Tom. And that to me confirms it, because I believe wasted Denise Richards. I don't know. Then as they're having this conversation, all the women start to kind of come into the bar area, and Denise has her jacket on upside down, and Dorit whispers to her,
darling, I think your jacket is upside down.
And Denise is like, what? Your jacket is upside down. Dorit goes,
my jacket? Honey, I'm serious. I think your jacket is upside down.
And Denise is like, still like, girl, no, your jacket, bitch. And it's like, what is going on? Denise keeps saying to Dorit, Don't do this.
Don't fucking do, you know what I'm saying. Don't do this. Dorit's like, do what?
And then she gets in her confessional and she's like,
maybe in 2 years from now, upside down jackets will be a huge trend. But for me, it's a hard no.
I'm like, okay. All right, Dorit. So then Denise says that she's going to go home. She's still babbling about how Erica's the worst person on earth. Kyle walks her out, gets her in the car, like, all right, bye. So then we come back to the party, and they're all kind of like, that was crazy, right? Anyway, Dorit turns to Kyle and says,
Kyle, while you were in the other room, and someone said, where are you? And Sutton said, in denial somewhere.
And Kyle's like, what? And she whips around. She goes, what am I in denial about, Sutton? What am I in denial about? And then they have the exact same argument that they just had at the table. And they're kind of, Kyle says something about Sutton's eating. Like, she's accusing her of having an ED. And Sutton says, wow, Kyle, you've already lost two sisters. Do you want to lose another one? And that was really low. I would have to say, I mean, Erica was like, later she was like, I don't know how you stood through that, because if it was me, I would have snatched the something off of her. She used some Southern colloquialism, I don't know. And I gotta be honest, Sutton, that was low. Did I enjoy it? Did I appreciate it as a viewer? Absolutely. But Sutton, that was questionable. So Sutton and Kyle are in the kitchen, and Sutton says that, and it's kind of like game over. And then Kyle says, oh, you really don't want to go there. Do you want everyone to know what really goes on between you and Kathy? Kyle's like taunting Sutton. Sutton's like, I'll tell everybody what happened between me and Kathy. Turns out Sutton got an angry call from Kathy, and Kathy was like, I can't believe that you're not defending me, because she's Sutton does did what Sutton does, and she was asked about the feud between Kathy and the rumors about the thing that happened on Aspen, and Sutton basically like dodged the question. She wasn't outright like one way or the other. So Kathy calls her screaming at her, Sutton's testimony, and she said, but then I apologized and we were cool 5 minutes later. This happens all the time. Kathy does this. This is something that Kathy does. And so I don't know. Kyle makes a good point. She's like, so if you know that she does this, why didn't you say that when I was trying to say this is something that she does at the reunion or in LA? Sutton doesn't have an answer for it, but also Kyle, you were absolutely horrible to Sutton all year. So you don't, you know, that's probably why she wasn't. And I said this last year. That's why she wasn't vying for you. So we get confirmation that Kathy is kind of a terror, which we know. And Erica said, and this is the only time I'm ever going to agree with Erica Jane, okay? Erica says,
well, I'm not afraid of anyone in Hollywood. I'm not afraid of Kathy Hilton. All these other bitches are so afraid of her. I don't need to go to a goddamn party. I don't need anything. I am a self-made woman. I have my circle. I don't need Kathy Hilton.
Okay. Cool. That seems to be working out really well for you and Lisa Rinna, Erica. Okay, you don't need anybody. Okay. You probably could use some of Kathy Hilton's money and connections to get your ass out of the bullshit you put yourself in, but that's neither here nor there. You don't need her. Copy that. So then Kyle kicks everybody out of her house. Whew. That was... when I rewatched it and slowed it down to try and take notes and things like that, it's an enjoyable watch. They nail the dinner party from hell every single time. They really do. And I have to commend them. Getting these women in one room under the influence of something and throwing in some side characters makes for great television. And hats off to Denise. She did a great job, honestly. She really did. So once everybody leaves Kyle's house, we cut scene and we move on to kind of interstitials between everybody doing their thing. And then we get, I already talked about it, we get a scene with Anne-Marie in her house. And Kyle comes to her house and they play pickleball and it's so lame. But the one thing that's interesting, Anne-Marie is allegedly a nurse. And Kyle's talking about, well, Sutton doesn't, she's still on the Sutton doesn't eat because Sutton said she has an esophagus issue. My mom, by the way, had this same thing happen to her actually a few months ago. And you can't eat and you kind of choke when you eat. And it was really difficult for my mom to get through that. And she had to have her esophagus operated on. And it's really a terrible thing. So, I mean, I hope Sutton's not lying, but if she's not lying, it is definitely a real thing. Anne-Marie is trying to act like she didn't know shit about it, which is weird because you're a nurse. And I just, maybe you don't hang out in the field of, but why as a medical professional? I don't like this woman. I don't want to hear anything she has to say. I don't care about her or the scene. So we're going to move on. And we move on to a very funny interaction where we have Denise, Garcelle, Sutton and Crystal are all at lunch together. And Denise comes in looking stunning, very different from how she looked at the dinner the night or a couple nights before. And she kind of just tries to explain her case, right? And I think the whole point of the scene was kind of just like a redemption scene. Like, hey, I can be on camera and not be a sloppy, intoxicated mess, which is good. And but really, there nothing happens. Sutton explains more of her esophagus thing. We go back and forth between Kyle and Emery. And then honestly, the next couple of scenes are also very inconsequential, in my opinion. Dorit and PK have a conversation about how Dorit's still traumatized and she wants to keep homeschooling the kids. PK is like, we got to take the kids got to go to school, honey. They got to go to school. And I agree. I mean, I know that they have resources where homeschooling is probably not that big of a reach for them and probably not as tiresome as it is for your average American. But let these kids go to damn school because they're going to make connections. They're going to make it's let them go to school, honey. You need to like work on yourself and you need to she really needs them to go to school so she can start to learn how to work deal without them. And PK is like, girl, you were talking about you're going to come live on campus with Phoenix when he goes to school. Like, you got to dial it back. And so that's basically the entire conversation. Then the next scene, nothing to say. Mikey and Erica have drinks at some sports bar and talk about her going to having a Vegas residency. Excuse me. The final scene of this episode is fascinating. Kyle meets up with Dorit to go on a hike. And lo and behold, Kim Richards walks out of a car and comes to meet with them. Kim Richards joins them on the hike. And so we get a little catch up with Kim. Kim is like,
well, I've not really left the house since pandemic, and I've been kind of just coloring on the walls.
Okay, Kim. So Kim has had a lot of social anxiety. She really hasn't left the house. I don't know, you know, to each their own. I don't know if that's great for her, but whatever, because it's been like 3 years, but you know, she needs to get back out there. But she's been coloring on the walls. Now, her artwork is kind of dope. I was like, there's no way she did that by herself, but I guess she did. And honestly, hats off. That's kind of great, Kim. Then Kyle pivots to a conversation about Paris, because as we all know, Paris just had a baby boy named Phoenix, and everyone else in the family got to meet him except for Kyle, because she and Kathy, I guess, are fighting right now. And I'm just like, hey, Kyle, I don't think the way that you're going to get to see Phoenix is to kind of drag Paris Hilton, because I promise you, Paris doesn't give a fuck. And talking about how sad you are on it, again, if they were not seasoned reality television show veterans, this would probably be a more touching story. But Kyle does this to her sisters. She talks shit about them on camera and then weaponizes it, how they act on camera, for why their relationship is bad. She literally torpedoes every good vibe she has with her sisters into the ground. And then she wonders why Sutton says shit like, you've already lost two sisters. Because this is what she does. So don't talk about Paris. Don't talk about Phoenix. Don't talk about London. London is Paris's baby that was just born. Also, Kyle, there's a reason that nobody knew about Phoenix. And I think you're one of those reasons. Your sister is one. Kim is probably another. Probably actually Kim less of all. You and Kathy are probably the reason, because you have dumbass friends like Lisa Rinna. You guys run your mouths. You leak stuff to the tabloids. And I'm a Kathy fan, but I know what's really good. We've seen Kathy do this for years. Kathy's the one that's allegedly leaking all the shit about Mauricio. And then she's the one who low-key confirmed that Morgan and Kyle were banging. So I'm just saying, like, Kyle, you know why this was kept a secret for so long and why Paris is being really protective. And you're still talking about it on camera, Kyle. Why are you doing that? Stop talking about Paris Hilton. Stop it. Because Kim's like, oh, yeah, no, I met him. Beautiful baby. I'm going to make something. She's going to draw something for the baby for his nursery. And then they kind of have a moment where it's like, I miss you so much and I love you and I'm so happy to see you doing great. I'm glad you got out of the house. And they hug, and it's so awkward for I felt for Dorit so bad, because Dorit's just kind of like the equivalent of holding bags, standing there like, okay. This was like, I feel like Kyle didn't. She wanted originally, she intended to film the scene with just Kim, and then Kim bailed last minute, as she does. And so Kyle called Dorit, but then Kim called back like, actually, no, I'll do it. And so then it was just this awkward thing, because what was Dorit doing there? That's what I think happened, because that's the kind of stuff that Kim does. And that's basically the end of the episode. This was a return to form for me. This is the kind of stuff I like to see. I said it last time, I'll say it again. I'm really enjoying Lisa Rinna not being on the show. Not so much because Lisa brought a lot. Not because I hated her on the actual show. But I love that I didn't know anything about this until this episode aired. And I think that Lisa Rinna, low-key, and the Vanderpump Rules cast has Bravo on some other shit. Because they are locked down. We don't see anything about what's happening on SLC. We don't know what's going on Southern Charm. We don't know where Beverly Hills is. I mean, we have an idea because of the actual press, like outside of Bravo, but we don't know these other things. Like, I didn't know Kim was going to for real, like, have a whole scene. It's nice to not leak things beforehand. It doesn't actually, you give people exhaustion. It's exhausting. You go into the show tired of whatever is about to happen because you think you already know. you drive engagement when people spread word of mouth. This was a really great episode. Oh, let me see what's going on there. You can't really, unless you're reading a recap, you don't know what's happening. I think that they are really doing a good job. Now, do they have time to absolutely run it into the ground? Totally. They do that. And we love them for it. But guys, this was really fun. I have finally caught up on Southern Charm, and I'm about to go to my mom's house for the weekend, so I won't be able to record there. Look out for something from me next week. Also, check out my last episode with Brandon of What Is This Honey podcast. We talked about all things Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and I will be on his show next week sometime to talk about the Mother of God documentary, Love Has Won, on HBO Max. And I have thoughts. You can go to my Instagram if you want to hear my thoughts. That's at WhoTFKnowsEmilyRose on Instagram, at WhoTFKnowsEmilyRose on Instagram. And listen to the promo at the beginning. You can buy me a holiday drink. The links are in the bio. Buzzsprout, Cash App, excuse me, all of that good stuff. I would really appreciate it. If you can't do that, I totally get it. Just like, share, subscribe, do what you can do. I love you guys, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Wind up your waist now, wind up your waist. Wind up your waist now, wind up your waist. Yeah, you know I love it when you wind up your waist. Tell me what you want.